Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, the Texaco Roundtable, the Martins and Al Goodman's Orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is the first day of spring, the day when Mother Nature auditions her buds and flowers.
Yeah.
But in radio, it is always spring.
Always spring.
Things are always blooming.
Oh.
And to prove it, we bring you that perennial bloomer, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you. I've got to get shorter legs or garters, Jimmy. But thank you, and good evening. How do you get that enthusiasm? Is that vitamin B1? Are you up to that?
Oh, that's amazing. The buzz of...
How do you do that? Thank you. You shouldn't talk through that stash. It's straining your voice, you know. Well, thank you, and thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Mr. Equinox Wallington, for that botanical send-off. Ah, spring in old New York.
Spring in old New York. Baloney.
Mr. Wallington, please, that delicatessen innuendo there.
Well, who knows if it is spring here in old New York?
Why, signs of spring are everywhere, Jimmy. Trees budding, flowers blossoming, green things shooting up.
Green things? Name one green thing you've seen in New York.
Why, green things come up out of the sidewalks here, Jimmy. Look in front of any A&P store. Brussels sprouts, spinach, all, anything you can imagine. Why, everything is green. The front of the Bronx Park Express, I saw it coming uptown tonight. There are four pages of greens in the phone book. And I just took a look at that gold cigarette case you gave me for Christmas. Brother, that is as green as a grasshopper's groin.
Well, that's beside the point. I still say there's no sign of spring in New York.
Well, I am amazed at you, James. The first sign of spring appeared here last week. Remember? Mayor LaGuardia gave the snow 24 hours to get out of town. Of course, the snow didn't get out of town. The thing was finally slushed up, I understand, down there. But you've got to admit that the public did get the drift.
Oh, yeah. Got the drift is right. Got the drift is perfectly right.
Don't repeat it. It's no good even the first time.
Did they hear it? I didn't write it.
Well, I know it, but don't. Now they know who to blame, I mean, yeah.
Well, all I was going to say, Fred, was that coming to rehearsal yesterday,
I got... Why don't you get a comb? What do you pick your hair? Why don't you pick your...
May I go on?
Yes, I just noticed you've got a bigger part in your hair than you have in the script. All right.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, when I was coming to rehearsal yesterday, I got chapped hips.
Well, everybody's forgotten what that was supposed to refer to.
It had to do with drift.
And so we turn to the latest news of the week.
Go ahead.
The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Bus strike ties up city lines as 3,000 drivers walk out, leaving 900,000 daily bus riders free to sample other forms of conveyance. Strike, now in its second week, started on March 10th. To date, mediation has failed.
Early last evening, a bus spokesman said...
The bus companies are sitting tight.
Late last night, a union official said...
The bus drivers are sitting tight.
At an early hour this morning, John Doe said...
I'm in the subway, standing tight.
As crowds scurry daily for other means of transportation, the bus strike still drags on. Texaco News, to get the lowdown on the slowdown, interviews man about town to chronicle reactions on the bus walkout. Our first guest, Mr. Solomon Sill. You are a bus rider, Mr. Sill?
Yeah, I live in Jersey. I commute.
Well, naturally, how else would you get over here? Well, has the bus strike inconvenienced you, Solomon?
No, I've solved the problem very nicely.
You have? How?
Well, I come over from Jersey every morning on a 42nd Street ferry.
Yeah?
When the buses was running, I'd take a bus across town to Lexington Avenue.
Oh, the bus right across to Lexington Avenue.
Sure.
Now that the buses have stopped...
I have been using a little boy.
Oh, you mean the little boy carries you over from...
No. This little boy has a bicycle.
Oh, and you?
Yeah, every morning in Jersey, I show the little boy a piece of candy.
Mm-hmm.
The little boy follows me onto the ferry with his bicycle.
Yeah?
Now, when the ferry docks at 42nd Street, I take the bicycle away from the little boy.
Well, good for you.
And then I pedal lickety-split to Lexington Avenue, check the bicycle, and go to the office.
And at night?
My day's work finished, I pedal lickety-split back to the ferry, return the bicycle to the little boy, and we both go back to Jersey.
A most ingenious arrangement. But tell me, Mr. Sill, what does the little boy do in New York all day?
Nothing. He just hangs around the ferry and cries.
And the next morning, you show him your candy and coax him back on the ferry again.
Yeah, he's a gullible little fellow, fortunately.
Fortunately, yes. And thank you for this ferry story, Mr. Solomon Sill. A woman who experienced a trying domestic dilemma as a result of the bus strike was Mrs. Hildegard Buxbaum. You have been upset, Mrs. Buxbaum.
What is happening to me couldn't happen to you. What is happening to me?
Well, what is happening, Mrs. B?
Well, starting since last September, my little boy Seymour, I am enrolling in private school.
Oh, I see. Seymour, huh?
Yes. Every morning to school by 9 o'clock should be inside, Seymour.
At 9 o'clock?
Yes, this is a rule. A bell is ringing.
Oh, I see. It facilitates things. And where is the school?
The school is by 66th Street, West Side.
West Side?
We are living by 145th Street, East Side.
East Side. And you come down by bus?
Formerly by bus we are coming, I and Seymour.
Well, tell me, how did you get to school after the bus strike?
How else? By subway.
Well, how on earth could you get from East 145th Street to West 66th Street by subway?
Foxy Mrs. Buxbaum, I am doping out of A.
Foxy Mrs. Buxbaum. How?
First, I'm going to Grand Central downtown.
Downtown, huh?
Then I'm going to Times Square, crosstown.
Crosstown.
Then I'm going to 72nd Street, uptown.
Uptown.
And finally, I'm going to 66th Street, downtown.
Downtown. And?
And boom, 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 it is Seymour School.
That is a wonderful route.
Wonderful, but I am not taking it.
Why not?
Silly Seymour, that shimsh. The trouble that boy is making.
What did he do?
The first day, I am putting on Seymour the beanie.
Uh-huh.
And I'm taking him by the ear.
Yeah?
I'm pushing him under the turnstile. And tally-ho, we are off in the subway.
And on your way to school.
What school?
What, something went wrong?
Everything is going wrong. The first change we are making at Grand Central, and I am saying, come, Seymour.
Yeah?
Stubborn Seymour is not coming. With screaming and stamping, Seymour is holding back.
He refused to get off the train?
All day long, Seymour is refusing. First, we are in the Bronx. Next, we are in Flatbush, Brooklyn. Then we are in the Bronx again. Next, it is Flatbush again. This is going on incessantly.
You couldn't get Seymour off?
Till 10 o'clock at night. Finally, Seymour is falling asleep. I am taking him home, the little darling.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Buxbaum, why wouldn't Seymour come out of the subway?
Well, last summer by Coney Island, Seymour and I am taking in all the rides.
Yes?
The subway, Seymour thinks, is again the scenic railway.
The scenic railway.
This he is enjoying. He is a kiddie.
Oh, yes. And you haven't been able to get Seymour back to school since?
What school? Home he's staying. He could grow up to be a dope yet.
But if he turns out to be a dope in later life...
Seymour could make a living on the radio. You are doing bad?
I see your point, and I'm seeing my lawyer, and thank you, Mrs. Hildegard Buxbaum. One of the many men who was happy to see the strike start was a Malcolm Lump. Is that right, Malcolm?
Oh, the bus strike sure was a break for us taxi drivers.
You've been working hard, have you, Malcolm?
I ain't been to bed for 8 nights.
For sakes alive, how do you stay awake?
I stopped drinking Sanka.
You stopped drinking,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Well, have you been riding all over New York with your cab?
Nah, I've just been cruising up and down Madison Avenue, following the bus route.
I see.
At first, I was stopping at every corner like a bus.
Really?
Yeah, people was clambering in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It was bedlam. I had a guy back in the cab making change.
Oh, in... You were jammed.
Oh, brother. The second day, I had to cut another door in the back of the cab, like a patrol wagon.
You mean so that people could get out?
Yeah, I'm too cramped. I'm riding 20 people every trip.
20 people crammed into one taxi cab? Well, didn't they complain?
Well, they did at first. Then I figured myself out of system.
What?
Before the 20 people get in the cab, I introduced everybody all around.
Yeah?
Then I'd ram them into the cab.
Oh, that made it all right.
Why, finally, when people are introduced, they like to be closer acquainted.
And all in all, then, would you say this... All in all, would you say the strike was a success?
It was the greatest thing that could happen.
How do you mean, Malcolm?
Coming right after income tax time.
Yeah?
The bus strike put everybody in New York back on their feet again.
Another Walker administration. And thank you, Malcolm Lump. Well, we hope that the bus strike will soon be settled to the satisfaction of all concerned. For until the buses start to roll again, the New Yorkers theme song will be...
Hand me down my walking cane, 'cause I must walk downtown again. As long as the buses stay on strike, all New Yorkers got to hike. So hand me down my walking, hand me down my walking, hand me down my walking, hand my walking cane. Now.
And so we turn from the bus dilemma to an artist whose fans are transported by his melodies. He's Kenny Baker, the young man with a song. And Kenny's first song tonight is It All Comes Back to Me Now.
Summer sky, a laughing you and I alone. It all comes back to me now. A sea of midnight blue, your face uplifted to my own. We called it a thrill of a moment and blame the moon up above. We didn't know what the glow meant. We never dreamed it might be love. It all comes back to me now. The love I threw away, and now each lonely night I pray that it will all come back to me someday. feel so lonely, so lost and blue. Why does my heart wander aimlessly the whole night through? It all comes back to me now, a sea of midnight blue, your face uplifted to my own. It all comes back to me now, the love I threw away, and now each lonely night I pray that it will all come back.
The new official theme song for Mr. Morgenthau in the Income Tax Department, It All Comes Back to Me Now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, spring officially begins tomorrow evening at 7:21 p.m. And to honor this auspicious occasion, I have composed an ode to spring.
Well, what is it called, Fred?
Ode to Spring. I took a bit of doing, but I worked it out. Ode to Spring. Tomorrow at exactly 7:21 p.m., people who look for the first signs of spring will see him. Yes, at exactly 7:21 by the clock. I'm giving a different reading this time, you see. Yes, at exactly 7:21 by the clock, the first crocus will thrust its head through the earth where it is hidden all winter, and robins will fly northward by the flock. So whatever you are doing tomorrow evening, watch your boulevard. At 7:21, spring spirits, you'll be full of her. How'd you like it, Jimmy?
Well, it just goes to show that not all the duds are in gasoline.
Well, if you think you can do any better, bub, let's hear you try.
I certainly shall. Here's my ode to spring, and it's more truth than poetry.
I hope so.
Tomorrow at 7:21 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the season of spring officially begins. And taking to the road at this new season of the year will be many thousands of new fire chief users. Car owners who discovered Fire Chief's all-action performance under tough driving conditions and intend staying with it the year round. Now, the reason for Fire Chief's brilliant, eager performance is easily explained. The duds, those useless, sluggish elements in gasoline, are out of Fire Chief. That's what gives Fire Chief its fast starts, quick pickup, economical mileage. It's all driving energy. So next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief. There's not a dud in a tank full.
was Amapola, played by Al Goodman, and his I've Got to Pass Your Horse to Get to My Horse Orchestra. The only band in radio playing from racing forms. And consistently finishing out of the money. And now, ladies and gentlemen... hello, Portland.
Hello.
Well, as the school teacher said to the little boy who spelled snow with an E, what's snoo? That's not bad. I mean, after all, you let a joke like that lay there. What's snoo? S-N-E-W. What's snoo? I mean, let's have it thrashed out. Now, either it's a joke or it isn't a joke. Now, let's...
But this is no place for jokes, Mr. Allen.
Do you know what you're telling me? Do you know if... I could tell him home and get better results. Do you know of a better place for jokes? This is supposed to be a comedy program, isn't it?
Yes, but jokes are old-fashioned. Comedy programs today all go in for romance.
What romance?
Well, on Bob Hope's program, for instance, he's always in love.
Well, Bob Hope is a much younger man, Portland. As men go, he's a boy.
But you're prettier.
But... Oh, you don't need your job that badly, Portland, do you?
And look at Mr. Benny. He's always taking girls out.
Oh, Benny with the light brown toupee? Look, the only thing Benny ever takes out on a moonlit night is his upper plate. Got the only upper plate with portable pallet attached. The only one I've ever seen. Well, what gave you... What gave you this romance idea anyway, Portland?
Well, tomorrow is the first day of spring.
Oh, again with the spring. All the spring is out of spring. That's all we've talked about tonight, spring.
Yes, but you haven't had any romance.
Well, how can you inject romance into a program like ours? Look around. I mean, look at the...
Well, if somebody would take out a girl, we'd have something romantic to talk about.
Well, do you know of a girl under 70 who would even be seen with anyone on this program? I
know just the girl.
Who?
Olive Fagelson.
Olive Fagelson?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Olive would be crazy about you. She's nearsighted.
Now, look, Portland, my scamp days are over. The last girl I took out left town and became the second girl on the end with the Floridora sextet.
Well, how about Mr. Goodman, then?
Mr. Goodman?
Somebody is calling Goodman?
Yes, sir.
Then out is popping Goodman like a jerk in the box.
Jerk in the box is right.
Mr. Goodman, would you like to meet a lovely girl, Olive Fagelson?
No, but positively no. And this I am saying in all reluctance.
But why?
This I can explain briefly in two words.
What two words?
Mrs. Goodman.
You see, he reads lines like an auctioneer, you know. Someday he'll be reading a line and he'll get a bid on the strip. You see, Portland... Romance on this program is a dud.
Well, then, how about Kenny Baker?
Oh, you can't get Kenny to go out with a girl. Kenny thinks billing and cooing is a dance team. Why, Kenny even blushes when he passes the YWCA.
Well, maybe we can talk Kenny into it.
Well, that we is singular, Portland. You can talk Kenny into it.
Spring, spring, glorious spring. Open the window and hear the birds sing. Tweet, 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 tweet. Hi, kids.
Well, hi, Kenny. I sense the old nest in your voice tonight. Kenny, there is no season like spring, is there?
Oh, boy.
Ah, the birds twittering.
Yeah.
The soft, balmy breezes.
Yeah.
Does something to a man, hey, Kenny?
I know just what you mean, F.A.
Yeah?
Makes you want to get out the old kite and fly the tail off of it.
I told you, Portland. Kenny doesn't even know what romance is.
Kenny?
Yes, Porty?
Have you ever thought about girls?
Girls? You mean those skinny things that wear dresses and open-toed shoes?
Yes.
Yeah, I think about them a lot.
What do you think about them?
Don't their toes ever get cold?
Look, Kenny,
don't be so shy. You're not afraid of girls, are you?
Not unless they're bigger than I am.
Oh, well, it's no use.
Why don't you just try talking to a girl, Kenny? You might like it.
Oh, I talked to a girl a whole hour yesterday, and I didn't like it.
Well, who was the girl?
The cashier at the Paramount Theater, a redhead.
Well, why didn't you like it?
I still had to pay to get in.
Well, I know, but that was a business discussion, a bit of a fragment of pleasant bickering, a battle of wits.
Yes, Kenny, I want you to meet a girl socially.
What for?
Portland wants you to take out an Olive Fagelson.
What's an Olive Fagelson?
It's something like a muffler, only it walks. It's a girl. A girl. She's the girl you're to make a date with.
What's a date?
Oh, well, she... for instance, you buy two tickets for the movies.
Yes?
And you take Olive along.
I can't buy her a ticket for the movies. I don't even know her.
Well, what difference does that make?
She might not pay me back.
Oh.
Here's Olive's number, Kenny. Just try talking to her.
I'll do my part. I'll dial the number for you, Kenny.
But, F.A., I'm liable to get involved.
Don't be such a fraidy cat.
Something tells me I'm being talked into this.
Now, here's the phone. They're ringing the other number.
Gosh, F.A., I don't know what...
Go ahead and answer the phone.
Hello? What's her name?
Fagelson. Olive Fagelson.
Oh, yes. Hello? Is this the residence of Olive Fagelson? What? My name is Kenny Baker. Yes, I'm working, sure. I make around $15 a week. Sure, I plan on settling down.
Kenny, what kind of talk is that? You've just met the girl.
This is her father.
Oh. The old Atape, hey? That's different.
Hello? What was that? I should say not.
What's the matter, Kenny?
He says I'll have to bring her home at 11 o'clock.
Tell him you will.
How can I? I gotta be home by 10 myself.
Now, look, ask for Olive, Kenny, and let's get this romance over with.
Hello? Who's this? Oh, you're Olive's mother. I'm Kenny Baker, Mrs. Fagelson. What? Yeah, $15 a week. For Fred Allen. Sure, he pays me every week. He's rich. Wait, I'll ask him. Mr. Allen.
What, Kenny?
What are you doing tomorrow night?
Never mind what I... Portland, what kind of people are these Fagelsons?
Hello? Here's Olive.
Oh, good.
Olive, this is Kenny Baker. Portland asked me to... What? $15 a week.
Tell Olive you want to take her to dinner.
But I don't want to take her to dinner. Wait a minute. What was that, Olive? Oh, I said I didn't want to take you to dinner.
Kenny, that's no way to talk.
It's too late, F.A. She says she'll come anyway. She'll meet me at Lindy's.
Well, tell her it's okay.
Olive, Mr. Allen says it's okay for Lindy's. Hold the wire. Mr. Allen.
Yeah?
How much is dinner at Lindy's?
For two, about $3.
$3?
Yeah.
Goodbye, Olive.
Kenny, you hung up.
You bet. $3 is a lot of money just to stuff an olive.
See, Portland, romance is out. It's no use. Spring or no spring, it's obvious that no girl will ever take Kenny away from us.
Yeah, I'm hard to get. I'll answer it. Hello? No, Olive. What? Well, that's different. We'll have dinner at your house at 8, sugar.
Well, I have heard everything.
Okay, Olive. Till tomorrow, then. Till we meet again. Toujours l'amour, Toots. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Congratulations, Kenny. Spring is here, and today you are a man.
Boy, I'm in for the time of my life. Say, F.A.
Yes, Kenny.
Can you lend me a quarter?
You mean for your date tomorrow night?
Yeah. Olive's kid brother Cecil's going to be there.
Oh, I get it. You're going to slip Cecil a quarter and send him out to a movie?
No. I'm going to slip Olive a quarter and send her out to the movie.
Kenny.
Cecil's got an electric train with 40 feet of track. Yahoo!
Before I give up, I'll take one last chance and try to get Kenny in the mood. I've asked the Martins to dedicate their song to Kenny, and so the Martins sing A Romantic Guy, I.
A romantic guy, I.
Hail and frantic guy you are, so high in the sky that each passerby must know that love is the reason why.
A romantic guy,
your romantic guy my way
would bring heaven nigh, so why don't you try? A romantic guy,
a romantic guy.
I see the moon at noon, I see bright stars the whole day through.
I see a rainbow in each stormy sky as long as I have you.
I see the moon at noon, I see red roses in the snow. You kept each vow of love, and now I know why I see the moon at noon.
Romantic guy, you.
Pale and frantic guy, I am.
So high in the sky that each passerby must know that love is the reason why.
Your
romantic guy, you.
Your romantic guy, my way
would bring heaven nigh. So why don't you try a romantic guy?
And here now, our special guest of the evening, Miss Francesca Drabb. What is it you do again, Miss Drabb?
I sell toast insurance.
Toast insurance? What is that?
Well, every morning, thousands of housewives all over the country put their bread in a toaster, forget it, and it burns.
Oh, and with your toast insurance, you pay the loss if the toast burns?
No, I keep it from burning.
Oh, I see.
With every policy, I give you a parrot.
A parrot? Well, what has a parrot got to do with the toast insurance?
The parrot is trained to sit on top of the toaster.
Yeah?
The toast starts the smoke. The parrot sees the smoke. The parrot yells fire. You turn off the toaster. The toast is saved.
Well, it is a marvelous idea. I see just one tiny flaw, Francesca. By the time the parrot sees the smoke and clears his beak to yell fire, the toast is apt to be a whole wheat clinker. As Jimmy Wallington often says,
when you see a cloud of smoke rising from the electric toaster, it's too late. The toast is burned. And when you see smoke pouring from an automobile exhaust pipe, the chances are it's also too late. The damage in the form of excessive engine wear may already have taken place, with no help for it except a repair job. Smoke means trouble. So let insulated Haviland motor oil safeguard your engine from excessive wear, wear due to heat, to cold, and to oil impurities. Haviland stands up under the high temperatures developed by modern engines, heat that may break down ordinary oils and accelerate wear. Haviland flows freely in cold weather, helps prevent dry, wearing starts. And Haviland is distilled to remove carbon-forming impurities. Take no chances with smoke and trouble. Change to insulated Haviland at your Texaco dealer. Mexico Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You should be set to music from the popular musical review, Crazy with the Heat. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we open our Texaco roundtable for a short fiesta of trivia. Our three guests are ready for their unrehearsed participation, and Portland calls the roll. If you will, Portland, please.
Yes, Mr. Al Jordan of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, good evening, Mr. Jordan.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
How do you like our New York weather that you've been sampling now that you're up here?
Rough.
It's a little rough, huh? I'm having a new piece of sailcloth put in the back of my coat. I have to tack to get across the street, and I may as well have sailcloth in the... But tell me, what are you doing in New York, may I ask?
attending the International Convention of Beauty Shop Owners.
The beauty shop owners at... You think these are all clients of yours or brother visitors to the convention? Delegates at large.
I hope they're clients.
Well, we'll lock the doors, Mr. Jordan, and give you a chance at them before they get out of here. But tell me, what is the purpose of your beauty convention, if I may ask?
Teaching the beauticians the new hairstyling.
The new... I saw yesterday in the paper that they've invented a cold water permanent wave now. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, what's the difference between a cold water and the ordinary permanent wave? Will it last just as well?
That I can't answer.
Well, that remains to be seen.
That's right.
Well, I wanted to ask you, are the women in this country more beauty conscious than they are elsewhere, do you think? Spend more money on beauty preparation?
I think so.
Well, what would you say would be the average woman's expenditure on her face per week? I mean, a woman who goes to beauty parlor once a week.
That's hard to say, but...
It depends on the woman, huh?
Yes.
Or the husband of the woman. or whether she belongs to a bridge club. Well, would you say $2 or $3 a week? Is that too much?
No, that isn't enough.
It is... Well, I mean, not for business, not for your purposes. But would you say $4 a week?
Around $4.
Around $4 a week. Well, at the end of a year, a woman has spent $200 for the upkeep on her face, hasn't she? The same amount of money she could... For the same amount of money, she could own a melodeon and go around on the old Red Path Chautauqua circuit playing, giving concerts. Well, who would you say, Mr. Jordan, is really responsible for the great start and the growth of the beauty business, the real start of it? Who would you say? Have you any idea?
I would say Mr. Joe Byrne and Miss Margaret Leonard.
Well, who are they, may I ask?
They are directors of the International.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Byrne and Mr. Leonard. you think they're greatly responsible for it? Well, I would say that the beauty business today owes its present healthy status to the man who invented the first mirror. Because if the first woman hadn't looked in the first mirror and seen how she looked, she would never had known that she needed a beauty treatment and it wouldn't have gone on down through the ages. So I think, really, the man who invented the first mirror, and fortunately I have never looked in one since Mr. Goodman wears his blue serge every Wednesday. Now, thank you, Mr. Jordan. Now, Portland.
Miss Helene Newberg from New York City.
Well, good evening, Miss Newberg.
Good evening, Miss Dowd.
May I ask your business? Do you work in New York? Are you active here?
Yes, I am.
May I ask you what you do?
I'm assistant to an interior decorator.
An assistant to an interior decorator,
that's right.
Huh? Well, what are your actual duties? Are you right in there punching, too, in the interior? Interior decorating, that's a form of... an interior decorator is really a Rembrandt with furniture, isn't it? What are your duties? Do you help lug around the furniture until the...
I should say not.
Oh, you don't?
I will certainly
do
not.
You sit back and do the brain work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me, is interior decorating very... is it a big business here in the East?
Yes, very much so.
It is, huh? I know out in Hollywood there seem to be scads of interior decorators. No, I really mean that. They have some wonderful homes out there. They have those movie stars. We'll get an interior decorator in to plan all these things, and then the next week they'll have the furniture come in, and the following week the installment collector will come in and carry out the plans and the furniture, and it works out very well. I know Bing Crosby out there has neon termite holes. It's very attractive. You come up at night, you see these little... Well, thank you a lot, Miss Newberg. Don't mind me. If I doze off, wake me up. Have the form wake me up. All right, Portland.
The next gentleman is Lieutenant Bernie Lay from Berkeley Springs, West Virginia.
Berkeley Springs, is
uh-huh.
it? More spring jokes on the program. Well, Lieutenant, may I ask you, are you active in some branch of the service?
I'm a First Lieutenant Air Corps Reserve.
Oh, Reserve.
Right now I'm on inactive status. Been working out in Hollywood.
Well, what are you doing in New York?
I'm here as a guest of Paramount for the world premiere of I Wanted Wings next Wednesday at the Astor.
Oh, we would have found out what theater it's at, Lieutenant. I Wanted Wings is the name of the picture. You're going to have a big Hollywood opening with the lights and all that sort of stuff.
Well, this will be the first opening here in New York and a private showing at Randolph Field.
Oh, of the picture. Are they going to have the big lights outside and everything next Wednesday when it opens?
They haven't told me about that.
They haven't. Well, I saw a fella out here. It's getting the Hollywood system is catching on around here. A fella opened a hamburger stand over on 9th Avenue, and he had the thing. He couldn't afford the lights, but he set fire to his sleeves and was doing that. Well, that brings...
The
what?
The hamburger stand will probably top
us. Well, nobody got in. They were so busy putting out the man who owned the place that... That brings us to our question. You know this business isn't going to last, Lieutenant. I mean, you look... Well, that brings us to our question. And since the Texaco Roundtable's discussions are confined to trivia, tonight we take up a minor matter that concerns barbers and beauty shop operators. So many cartoons have been printed and so many jokes told about barbers incessantly talking and the tendency of girls working in beauty parlors to disseminate gossip on the job that we'd like to know how the average customer feels about this situation. And so then our question tonight is, should a barber or beauty shop operator annoy the customer with small talk in an effort to be sociable, or should the barbers and the operators just do their work in silence? Now, Mr. Jordan, how do you feel? Do you favor the barber with sound or the old silent barber?
I favor the one with sound.
You like to have a little conversation along with your singe and your hair work?
Yes.
Well, of course, you're in the beauty business. That's really an unfair question to ask you. You have us there right from the start. Miss Newberg, how do you feel about beauty shop operators? Do you feel that the girls should gossip about their clients or regale their the people they're waiting on with small talk?
I most certainly do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You like to have the girls talk to you when you go in there?
Uh-huh.
Why, you pick up a little gossip? Do you?
That's it.
Why, you won't pick up anything you can't read in a column the next day.
Sometimes you do.
Huh? Do you really? It doesn't show up in the... Where is your beauty shop? May I... But you and Mr. Jordan both, well, if you were a man and went into a barber shop, would you favor, as Mr. Jordan does, the barber with sound?
I certainly
do. You don't just like to go in and mind your own business and have your hair waved, the new cold water wave that Mr. Jordan spoke about. You like to have company and the little fat chewed while it's going. Well, Lieutenant, how do you feel on the barber question?
Well, I have nothing against the loquacious barber. They only get 35 cents, and look what...
Well, wait
Benny,
a minute.
Look
wait, what kind
gets.
Of shops do you go to now? Wait a minute. Now, Lieutenant. Well, of course, being a writer, as all Hollywood writers, eventually it starts to show in the scalp, and probably you only have 35 cents worth of hair on there. But do you really think that the barber should, or should the barber wait until the customer invites him to participate in a dialogue or a little conversation? You think the barber should just launch into it ad libitum?
I think he's entitled to talk for 35 cents. Look what Benny gets.
Well, I know, but for 35 cents in Hollywood, look what you get. Benny, three features, a Mickey Mouse, and a boiled dinner. Well, thanks a lot, Lieutenant. Our roundtable stands. Unfortunately, we've just whipped this out. We haven't thrashed this question out. We've just whipped it out a little. But our roundtable stands, or rather sits, thanks to fatigue. And I take pride in the fact that our little discussion tonight has gotten us absolutely no place. I have witnesses here to prove it. And I'm sure that windy tonsorial artists will be just as windy on the morrow as they were today. And since it probably won't be safe for me to show my face in the barbershop from now on, after bringing up this question, I am learning to cut my own hair. And on this frugal note, thank you, Mr. Jordan, Miss Newberg, Lieutenant. And now we return you to Kenny Baker. Kenny is leaving tomorrow for Chicago, where he is singing next Sunday with the Chicago Women's Symphony Orchestra. All Kenny Baker fans are hereby invited to tune in for Kenny's concert next Sunday afternoon. And now, to sort of warm up, Kenny sings for us, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen."
Sometimes I'm down,
yes, Lord. Sometimes a mother's to the ground. Yes, Lord. Oh, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Glory, hallelujah. If you'll get stabbed before I do, oh yes, Lord, tell all of my friends I'm a-coming to. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord.
That was very nice.
Pardon me, Mr. Allen. Can I borrow your storm?
Borrow my storm?
Yeah, I'm Quigley, sound effects man in Studio 3.
Well,
We're putting on orphans of the storm. We got the orphans, but the storm machine is busted.
Oh, your storm effect doesn't work?
Not good. You know how a storm ought to sound. Something like this. Woo! Woo!
Well, how does your storm sound?
Woo!
In other words, your storm machine isn't flexible enough.
Yeah, and it ain't got any power, neither.
Well, if you want flexible power, I recommend you to lend an ear to our flexible flyer, Mr. Larry Elliott. Mr. Elliott, Mr. Sound Technician.
Yes, when you call for power, you want it. Lots of it. Power to get you off to a quick start. Power to permit you to maneuver your car smoothly in traffic. Power to lift you up and over the hills. And that's where the alert, flexible power of Sky Chief comes in. Texaco's different premium gasoline. Just touch the starter and your engine quickly takes over. Bear down a bit on the accelerator and you're in motion eagerly, effortlessly. With quick start, surging acceleration, soaring power on the hills, Texaco Sky Chief gasoline has a way of bringing out the finest performance in any car. Try Sky Chief soon. It's your Texaco dealer's luxury gasoline for those who want the best at the usual premium price.
Now the Texaco Workshop players pay tribute to the production that has made history in the New York Theater. The play that is now in its eighth year on Broadway, Tobacco Road. On October 3rd, 1933, the play Tobacco Road opened unheralded in New York City. The story of a shiftless folk in their hillbilly trials and tribulations became a smash hit. Since 1933, Tobacco Road has been played in 247 cities and 41 states by touring companies. Daryl F. Zanuck's great picture version of Tobacco Road has recently been released, and the original New York company is still playing to capacity business here in its eighth year. Its attendance record...
Tobacco Road has played to 2 million grand, 40 little enough, bone people.
Its receipts...
Tobacco Road has grossed funnel fin and trouble log of dollars and 15 cents.
15 cents?
A lady in Albany forgot her change.
Oh, I see. You rapped on the window with a sponge, I hope. And still, Tobacco Road runs on. Archaeologists predict that this generation will never live to see Tobacco Road close. The sequel to this play, they say, will never be shown in our time. To forestall this dilemma, then, tonight the Texaco Workshop players bring you the sequel to Tobacco Road. It's called Nicotine Alley. Music, maestro.
Teeter! Teeter Fester, wake up! Dog, damn, lazy old coot, wake up!
What's new, Ma?
Everything's new, and everything's up but you.
What time is it?
It's spring.
Spring, eh? What year?
1941.
41? You mean 31, don't you?
I said 41. 41's what I mean. You've been sleeping 10 years.
10 years? Jeepers. What's been going on, Ma? Who's president?
He still is.
He is. Where's old Granny Pastor?
Granny passed on back in 33.
Oh, too bad. Where's Gramp?
Oh, Gramp didn't bother coming back.
Coming back from where?
The cemetery. Gramp was 94 and his shoes was undone. Gramp said it wasn't worth his while to come home again.
No, long's his shoes was undone, he's out there. Gramp saves himself a trip. Well, where's the kids?
What kids?
Our kids, remember?
Oh, them. Big Sadie run off with a medicine show.
I know that'd happen. Big Sadie was always sickly.
Yeah.
What about t'others?
You recollect Sour Sam?
Sour Sam, let me see. He was the little shaver with no holes in his nose.
Yeah. Well, Sour Sam joined up with some feller named Ripley.
What become of t'other boy? The husky one with 8 toes.
Oh, that would be Burley.
Burley, with 8 toes, 7 on the left foot.
Yeah. Burley went west, got a job stamping out forest fires.
Doing mighty well, I guess, professional hot footer. Well, reckon I'll get me out of bed.
First thing you better do is take a bath. I'll go out and dam the creek.
Hold on. Now, I ain't a bathin' ma. My paw never bathed, and his paw for him never bathed, and his paw for his paw never bathed. Who's to the door? Unlatch and track in. Tupper Manson.
Howdy, Teeter. Howdy, Miss Fester.
What brings you calling, Tupper?
Well, there was talk down at the barber shop. You was out of bed, Teeter.
Yep, I'm out.
I didn't believe it. Just dropped in to make sure. Goodbye.
Darn busybody. Coming round every 10 years, put his nose into other folks' affairs. Dirty poke nose.
Tupper may be a poke nose, but he ain't dirty, Paul. Tupper bath.
And I don't bath. Now you know the difference between me and Tupper.
Well, just same, you ought to use that there cleaning gadget that salesman left last year.
What is it, a squadjay?
No, looks like a brick. There's writing on it.
Yeah.
See?
What's it read?
S-O-A-P. Soap.
Soap?
Yeah, salesman says this Soap cleans you fine.
Soap, I'll make a note of that.
Howdy, Ma.
Howdy, little Teeter.
Hey, who's this here Rube, Ma?
This here's your pa, little Teeter.
No kidding.
Don't you know your own pa, son?
I didn't recognize you standing up, pa.
What you been up to, son? You smell of sachet.
I've been out sweet-talking love to Hatfield, ma.
Sweet-talking? You ain't gone calico mad, son.
Well, I did give Lovey a piggyback ride down to our drugstore.
Son, you didn't go into that drugstore.
Lovey made me, ma.
What went on in that drugstore, son? Out with it.
Well, I...
Well, your pa's speaking to you, son.
What went on in that drugstore, that iodoform den?
Well, I bought Lovey a Coca-Cola with one straw, and we just took turns.
A son of mine alternating on a Coca-Cola?
You only 35, son, and alternating?
Alternating, and only 35.
The devil must have been in me, Ma.
Now, tell me the worst, son. Was the Coca-Cola with lime?
Paul!
The truth, son. Was it with lime?
Yes, Paul.
Then you'll have to marry the girl. Get your shawl on, Ma. We'll get over to Hatfield's. Where's my shotgun?
Hold the wedding, Paul. Eating comes afore marrying.
Yeah. Maybe your Ma's right, son. Coming on supper time. You go run your arm down the gopher hole. We'll have supper.
Okay, Paul.
I reckon this is Zeb Tinkham with the mail.
Letter for you, Teeter.
Thank you, Zeb.
Want us to come in and read it for you?
No. There's 3 of us to hum, Zeb. Reckon 3 of us can handle her.
Okay.
What is it, Paul?
Look at it. It's too small for a catalog. Postman says it was a letter. Well, wait till I get the bark off her. Reckon the writing's inside. There she's open. Next thing now is to read her. Let me see.
You got the letter upside down, Paul.
I know. I'm reading her the hard way, son.
Let me read her, Pa. I can read writing.
Okie beba dokie, son. Here, give her a go.
Shucks! It's from the Giverment.
The Giverment? What's he want?
Says Giverment wants to buy our land. We ain't got to get off.
Head!
Since the government man will be here today to take over.
Whoopee! We can sell the land for money, Paul. I can get a new string for my Sunday apron. Whoopee!
Money. How am I taking Lovey for another coke?
Buy jeepers and buy creepers. Nobody's buying this land. Asbestos has lived and died on this here land for 200 years. No fester never bathed, and no fester never sold no land. By jeepers and by creepers. If this is that givement, man, here's where I get my revenge for Gibbysburg. Unlatch and crack in, Yankee.
Hey, excuse me. My name's LaGuardia. Which way is the new aquarium?
What's the aquarium?
This is where we're building it. Isn't this Bronx Park?
This is Ozark County, Tennessee.
Darn that 6th Avenue subway.
No wonder the little man gets lost. Can't see nothing from out under that hat.
Why aren't you selling the land?
No, by jeepers and by the creepers. I was born on this here land, and I'm dying on this land. By jeepers and by creepers.
This must be Mr. Givement now.
It's Givement. Unlatch and trek in, Givement.
Hey, Professor.
What's it to you?
I'm from Washington, from the Givement.
What a Givement?
I'm here to buy this property.
Well, tain't for sale, mister.
You've got to sell, Fester. The government is building a training camp here on your land.
Training camp?
You going to put in trains on the land like a depot, mister?
No, Rube. The government is training men. It's the draft.
Sounds daffy. Men training to sit in a draft.
It's the army draft, lady. Haven't you yokels heard about the war?
I thought the war was over when Dewey took Manila that time.
Look, I haven't got time to explain the world situation, folks. Here's a check for your land, now beat it.
No, by jeepers and by creepers. Asbestos has been living on this land for 200 years. We ain't aiming to move.
Oh, this farce has gone far enough. Yeah. If you hillbillies don't get off this land, Mr. Big will put his foot down.
Threatening won't get you no place, stranger. I'll hoe-handle you and Mr. Big off the ledge.
Oh, yeah? If you think Mr. Big is joking, I'll just tack this poster on your door here.
Yeah.
There. That's your official notice, Fester. Good day.
That's Mr. Gibman, and good riddance to you, Gibman. What's this writing say, Mar? Let me see. Gibman says, I mean, don't the Gibman by the Gibman. By jeepers and by creepers. Hitch the mule, Mar.
What's up?
Pack the Sears Roebuck catalog, son. We're getting off in the land.
But, Pa, you swore you'd stay.
I know, Ma, but no fester can stand the penalty that Mr. Big's writ on that there paper.
What's Mr. Big allow?
It says anybody obstructing the construction of this army camp will find himself in hot water.
Hot water?
They're threatening me with a bath, Ma, and I can't take it. My jeepers and my...
Thank you, and now just a nightcap word from Larry Elliott.
The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. You may call it petroleum or just simply oil, but no other single resource in so short a period of world history has played so great a part in building a nation... A nation like the industrialized and mechanized America of today. And now, as America mobilizes, our available supply of oil, the lifeblood of our democratic economy and defense, is the greatest in our history. Through research, exploration, and scientific production, the petroleum industry has planned and is now prepared to meet not only the daily demands of our civilian life, but every demand of America's defense program.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for driving by and parking at the Texaco Star Theater tonight. Remember, we'll save a parking space for you next Wednesday evening. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. Remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.